Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and now it is with great excitement that we begin our study of Masechet Arachin. As you can see on the handout, Masechet Arachin deals, at least at its beginning, with the Parashah, which is presented as Pasuk 1 in the text box, which is the first 8 psukim in the last chapter of Vayikra, Perek Chav Zayin, which is Parashat Arachin, and thus the name of the Masechet. In Parashat Arachin, we're told that if a person commits to giving another person's value, or his own value, to the Beit HaMikdash, and presents it that way, then there is a set value chart, as it were, of what each person, depending on gender and age, is worth. Alluded to in that parasha is another system of such commitments known as damim, in which a person's subjective value is then given to the mikdash, and we'll deal with some of that forthwith. The Mishnah begins with a formula which is familiar and which will occupy our attention for the next two, this and the next podcast. Hakom ma'arichin v'ne'arachin. All are able to make such a commitment and can be the target of such a commitment. Nodrin v'nidarin. Nodrin v'nidarin, which we would translate as can take oaths, etc. Here it means that they can make a commitment to damim or be the object of such a commitment. Kohanim, Levim, v'Yisraelim, Nashim, v'Avadim. So, Kohanim, non-Kohanim, women and Avadim Kohanim are all included. Tumtum v'Androginos, though we're going to see some exceptions. So Tumtum v'Androginos that we dealt with through much of Bechorot also, but here we're talking about people. Nodrin, v'Nidarin, u'Ma'arichin. So within the context of Damim, they can do either. Within the context of Arachin, they can only be the committer, but not the target. And we'll see why. Because there is a set series of values for men and for women, but only men that are certainly men, women that are certainly women, not the tumtum and androgynos. On the other hand, nidarin v'nerachin, they can be the objects of either system, but they cannot be the actors in either system, because they have no dot, and therefore their statements are meaningless. Okay, the Gemara says, why does it say everyone is ma'arich? Who is being included, who is not mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah? And this is a halacha that we spent time with in Masechet Nedarim, which clearly has a lot of a correlation with our Masechet, and thus the topic of Arachin is in the same book of the Rambam, Sefer Hafla'a, about expressions with halachic impact. Mufla Samuch Le'ish is a boy who is 12 and up, or a girl who's 11 and up, in other words, 1 year before they reach majority, when they make a vow, if they are asked and it seems that they know what they were talking about, and this gravity of the commitment, then it's valid, and if not, not. So, Kol Ma'arichin, at the beginning of our Mishnah, is there to allude to including a Mufla Samuch Le'ish. Ne'arachin Latuyemai, what about Hakol Ne'arachin? Who is that including? It's there to include someone who is very disgusting, someone who is very diseased, and as a result of that, does not have, we would think, should not have a value because if they were put on the slave market, nobody would buy them, but nonetheless, they do have an erech. And here's the reason. We would have thought, and in the opening pasuk that's highlighted, it says that neder erkecha, which is an allusion to nedarim, meaning damim, and it would say kol sheishno b'damim yeshno b'arachin, b'chol sheino b'damim yeshno b'arachin. Anyone who has a value as damim also is included in arachin. But we would think that even though somebody is a male of a certain age or a female of a certain age and would fit the chart, if they don't have a real value, because they're diseased or whatever, then maybe they don't fit into Arachin. Kamash Malan, because it says Nefashot Kolduhu. Be'arkechan Nefashot, meaning a person who's alive. And therefore, if they're alive, they fit into the slot. Nodrin Latuyemai, what about the third word, Nodrin? Everybody can commit to that. And the answer is Nidorin Tzrichalei. The truth is Nidorin was not necessary. It was necessary in order for parallel construction to also include Nidorin. And what was that for? And Darin Latuimai, Ilatuntumtum Androgenos. It's not there to say that Invinatumtum Androgenos, who don't have an Erech, but they have Damim, are included, Bad Yakfanilu. That's explicitly mentioned. No reason to allude to it. Vilatuichai Shetavakotin, if it's there to include the three incompetents, Bad Yakfanilu. That's also expressly mentioned in our Mishnah. Ilatuich Pachon Menchodesh, if it's there to include a baby who's less than a month old who is not on the chart of Arachin. That's the next Mishnah. It's really the end of our Mishnah. That's on Daf Hamud Aleph. Vila to a goy, if it's there to include a non-Jew. A later Mishnah in our Perek deals with whether a goy and Tzmachlok or Yudah Meir, whether or not he's included. But it's already dealt with. So we go back and say, it's really there to allude to a child who is less than a month old. Tani v'hadam refarish. So in our Mishnah, Ne'erachin was there to include him by allusion, and then in the Mishnah, then it was dealt with explicitly. Okay. Now, we're from here on, for the rest of this podcast, we're going to deal with a whole series of either Mishnayot or Braitot throughout Shas that use the same formula, and the first series we're going to deal with, all we're going to look at is the word hakol. Meaning hakol, for instance, hakol somchin, and we have this at the beginning of chulin, la tu yemai. So who's that there to include it? And in every case, we're going to try to hypothesize what class of people or individual would be least likely to be included that is now being included by the extra word hakol. The answer is here. I'm sorry, hakol somchin is not chulin. This is from Menachot. Hakol somchin la tu yemai. Everybody does smicha on the korban. Who's that for? La tuye yoresh. It's there to say even the heir, meaning a man set aside a korban and died as and his heir brings the korban, obviously not a chatat, but let's say in Allah or Shlamim, the heir does smicha. Look, Rabbi Yehuda. And that's against Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. We'll say that in a minute. Akom mimirin la tuye mai. The beginning of Masechet Tmurah, which we'll do after Achin, has the same phrase. All are able to do tmurah. What's that there to include? Latui yoresh. Again, an heir. someone dies living a korban, and the heir does a tmurah, it is valid. Again, lo karbi yehuda detanya. Yoresh sorech yoresh memer. That a yoresh is able to do those things. Rabbi Yehuda omer yoresh eno sorech yoresh eno memer. That a yoresh is not able to do either of those things. Now, let's take a moment to look into this machloket. My tam Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda say he's not able to? Because the pasuk at the beginning of Vayikra says, korbano, meaning you bring your korban, velo korban aviv, and samach yador rosh korbano. You put your hand on your korban, not your father's korban. And v'yalif tchilat hektesh misof hektesh. And tchilat hektesh, meaning tmura, where you generate a new hektesh from the beginning, is inferred from sof hektesh, the end of the road, which is smicha, just before shchita. Masof hektesh yoresh no somech, so therefore, Yehuda says, just like at the end of the road of hektesh, a yoresh cannot do smicha, or does not do smicha, atchilat hektesh yoresh no memer, so therefore, in the beginning of generating a new hektesh, a yoresh can't do. Rabbanan, what's Rabbanan's position? Hamer Yamir, in the parsha of Tmura, which we just dealt with in Maser Beimat, the end of Bachorot, it uses the phrase V'im Hamer Yamir. Why is it use the extra word? L'rabot et ha-yoresh, to tell you that even an heir can do Tmura. And then they simply infer backwards, meaning that that what happens at the end of Hekdesh can be inferred from generating a new Hekdesh. The exact inversion of Rabbi Yehuda's approach. Now, we have to see how each one of them will deal with the other pasuk. The other's pasuk. Rabbanan hai korbano mai abdi lei. What do they do with korbano? By lei korbano, and the truth is it says it three times. V'lo korban goy. Meaning, a non-Jew's korban doesn't have smicha. Korbano v'lo korban chavero, or another person. If you bring a korban on behalf of somebody else, you don't do smicha. Korbano or korban lechovrin lesmicha. And the third time it says korbano is there to say that if you have a partnership korban, korban ashutfin, all shutfin have to do smicha. So it's not to exclude, there's to include. V'Rabbi Yehuda. So now Rabbi Yehuda who already now used one korbanot to exclude the Oresh, is going to be short one word. He doesn't agree with the halacha that all members of a partnered korban have to do smicha. Unless it's a single person bringing the korban, then there is no smicha. But if he happens to, on the other hand, actually yes, accept that halacha, then goy v'chaviro mechad kra nafki. He could infer that we don't do smicha on the korban of a goy or on the korban of a fellow you brought on his behalf from one same pasuk. And after all, it is a consistent meaning, which is somebody else's korban doesn't get smicha. Aitulu trei, so he has two left. Chad korban ovelo korban aviv. One to exclude the heir. The other one to include all the partners. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, hi Hamer Yamir Mayavile. What does he do with Hamer Yamir that Rabbanan used to include the Oresh? And by the way, the Rabota Taisha, it's there to include a woman that a woman could also do Tmura. The Tanya Lefi, Shekol Anyanin of Dabar Al-Vashon Zachar. So we have a Braita that says this. Since the entire Parsha at the end of Vayikra is all written from the perspective of a male, therefore, Masofin of the Bota Taisha, so how can we include a female and say she has the power to do Tmurah? Tamalom Rim Hamer Yamir, the extra phrase, for Rabbanan, so where are they going to get that halacha from? Mi Ve'im. Ve'im Hamer Yamir. Instead of Im Hamer Yamir. For Yehuda, Ve'im Lodari, she says that Ve'im is not significant. Okay, so everything ends up fine. And now, from here on, we're going to go very quickly through a whole series of these hakols. Hakochai in the Sukkah, Le'tuye Mai. So, that everybody is chayav and sukkah. Many of these are tosafot, by the way. To include a katan who's independent of his mother, doesn't need his mother. Ditnan, and this is a mishnah in sukkah. Katan shenot zirich limo chayav besukkah. That's to tell the story about Shammai and his grandson and his daughter-in-law. Okay, chayav lulav latuyemai. What's that? Latuye katan yodeh lananea. That if a kid is already old enough that he understands how to shake lulav, he's chayav and lulav. Now, by the way, that chiyuv of sukkah and this one and the next few that we're all going to be about ktanim are all chiyuvin dirabanan as chinuch, as education, according to most rishonim. Hakol chayav mitzitzit latuye mai. That is a tosafta. Latuye katan hayodeh litatei. If it's there again to include a young a person under bar mitzvah who knows how to wrap himself in the tzitzit. Tan katan hayodeh litatei chayav tzitzit. Akol chayavim bitfilin. What about that? Again, latuye katan hayodeh lishmor tfilin. A young a boy who already knows how to properly guard his tfilin and keep the sanctity already is chayav tfilin. Tan katan hayodeh lishmor tfilin. Aviv lo keach lo tfilin. His father has to buy him tfilin. Okay, akochevin biriyala tuyemai. Now, up until here, we've had the answer. Each time has been a katan, and each time it's been because of chinuch. Now we take a slightly different tack, and this is plucked directly from the opening sugya on Masechet Chagigah. Akochevin biriyala tuyemai. Everybody is chayav in Riyad, the opening Mishnah in Chagigah, Latuye, Riyad, meaning the pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, on the regal, Latuye, Misha Chetzio, Ben Chetzio, Ben Chorin. And this is a complex sugya because at the beginning of Chagigah, we have various opinions. If you have somebody who's a half Eved Kanani, half Ben Chorin, which could easily happen if a father owns an Eved Kanani and dies and leaves him to his two sons, and one son liberates his half, that's what you've got. You have to remember that the first treatment of such a case was that he works every other day for himself and every other day for the master owns half of him. And then Beit Shammai turned to Beit Hillel and said that that doesn't solve his marital problem. He can't marry a Bat Chorin, can't marry a Shifcha, and therefore we force the other master to free him and he owes half his value to that master. However, we'll get to that in a moment. But Ravina says such a person is exempt, so a call can't be that for him. What if somebody's lame, which means that they are exempt from Re'iyah, because Ole Regel? However, let's say they're lame on the first day, and they get better on the second day of Yom Tov. There's a machlok in Yochanan ben Mashiach about whether or not such a person is chayav, meaning was their exemption on the first day define who they are for Yom Tov and they're exempt the whole time, or does each day generate a new exemption? So, if you agree that they're all tashlumin from each day before, then he really is chayav, even though he was lame on the first day. But if you say they're all tashlumin for the first day, which means this guy is exempt, so latuye mai. So what's hakoch ha'miriyah including? Latuye suma b'chat meinav, to include someone who is blind in one eye. Udloke aitana, as opposed to Yochanan ben Nahavai, who said, in quoting Rabbi Yehuda, suma b'chat meinav patur min ha'riyah. He says you're exempt. Why? Shenemar yireh and yeira'eh. Even though the word that we read, you will come up to be seen by God, is yeira'eh, it's spelled like yireh. So we now compare seeing and being seen. Kederach ba'lirot kach ba'lirot. So you come to be seen the way you come to see. Ma lirot b'shteinav, lirot b'shteinav. And therefore, since you're seen by God's two eyes, as it were, whatever that may mean, similarly, you have to see with both eyes. So that Tana says that somebody who's blind in one eye is exempt. So therefore, the Mishnah and Chagigah may be there to oppose that and say, no, he's included, he's chayav, and that's alluded to by the word hakol. We can go back to our first answer. Remember, Ravina said you're exempt. And this is exactly what I was mentioning, that non, Misha chetzi ben chetzi ben chorin. You have somebody who's a half and half. He works Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday for his master, and Monday, Wednesday, Friday for himself. Divrei Beit Hillel. Amar lo Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai said to Beit Hillel, Tikantav et rabbo v'atzmo lo tikantav. You've solved his financial relationship with his master, but you have not solved his own personal issues. Lisa Shifcheinu Yachol. He can't marry a Shifcha because he's a half free man, half Jewish. Bachorinu Yachol. He can't marry a Jewess because he's half Eved Kani. Yibatel. You want this guy to not be married and not have kids? The world is created that people should populate it. Shinemar, Lotobra Allah Shevet Yitzara. God created the world to be populated. As I mentioned earlier, that the Beit Din forces the master who still owns half to free him, and then he has to write a shtar that he owes and has to work off that value. And ultimately, Beit Hillel came around and agreed with Beit Shammai and ruled the same way. Which means we can now answer that Hakol Chayavin B'Riyah is reflecting the later reality, and therefore, since this half Eved Kanani is going to be freed, we are already ready to obligate him. And it's alluded to with the word Hakol. Okay, Hakol Chayavin T'kiat Shofar L'Tuyemai. What's that for? T'ui Katan Shigel Achinuch. Back to a Katan. That Hakochav Mechitkat Shofar is there to say that even a Katan who already understands the Shofar is Chayav. Even on Yom Tov itself, we don't stop Ktanim from blowing Shofar. Hakochav Mikra Megillah and Hakok Sherin Likrot Tamegillah. Hakochav Mikra Megillah is a Tosef, Hakok Sherin Likrot Tamegillah is the Mishnah Megillah. Latuye Mai, what's that? Therefore, Latuye Nashim, to include and extend it to women. Ucher Bishua ben Levi, the Rishua ben Levi, the Sugin Megillah, Nashim Chayav Mikra Megillah, Shefen Ayuba Tuanes, women are also Chayav Mikra Megillah, and based on this Tosefta, women are equally able to read the Megillah, and are Chayav equally. Of course, the famous Bahag in Megillah, that they're not Chayav equally during the day, etc. Hakol Chayav Mizimun Latuyemai. Why do we say all are obligated in Zimun? Again, here, the Latui Nashim Vavadim, said to say that even women and slaves are Chayav and Zimun. Detanya, Nashim is Amnot Latzman, Vadim is Amnot Latzman. If the women are sitting around, they have a meal, they have to make a Zimun. According to some Rishonim, that's a real obligation. It's not something that they just may do. And Avadim Kananim, same thing. Hakom Itztarfin Zimun Latui Emai. And what about the phrase that says, all can be included in Zimun? Not a Chayav, all can be included. If you have a kid who understands who we're blessing, you can include him. Okay, all could become tamei as a result of ziva, of an emission coming from their body. What's that there to include? Even a baby one day old. Tanya Ish, the Torah talks about the parsha Ish ki yezov zamim saro. Matam lama Ish Ish. Why does it say Ish Ish? Even a little man, even a tiny man. I got the same halacha, I don't need that pasuk. At the end of Parshat Metzora, It says, and this is the law for Hazav et Sovo, Hazav et Sovo, La Zachar v'la Nekeva. La Zachar means Kol Shu Zachar, any males, Bengata Bengadol, no matter how young, La Nekeva is Kol Shu Nekeva, Bengtana Bengdolat, no matter what age. Imken Matan Lomar Ish Ish. So why does it emphasize Ish? Tibato Ak L'Shom Bnei Adam, in the style of Rabbi Ishmael, that's the way the Torah speaks, Ish Ish Ki Hazav Soro. Okay, hakom mitamin b'tmei meit latuye mai. What's that? Therefore, latuye katan, to tell you that even a katan could become tamei by contact with a mate. Why would we think not? Because in the Parsha Paraduma, it talks about a man who becomes tamei and does not get cleansed. What happens with him? So, ish in katan lo, I would think it's only a man. Kamash Balan Bialan Fashot Ashar Yusham, that you do Hazaat, the sprinkling of the Mechatat, on all the souls that were there, all the lives that were there, meaning any age. So a Katan could be Tameh, because he sees he has to become Tahor. Hele Ish Limutemai, so what's Ish there for in the Parsha? But the Katan Mikaret, because it says there Ish, Ashit Mavloit Chatat Mishkan Hashem Timeh V'nichrata. So an ish who is tamei and doesn't get cleansed, that goes into the mikdash, he gets karet. A katan doesn't get karet. Okay, akom mitamin bin negaim latuyemai. Why does the Mishnah say that anybody could become tamei with sarat? Latuye katan, again, a little kid. Almost all of these have been katanim. Sanamena ish tsaruahu, in the parsha of tsarat, we define him as an ish tsaruah, so I might have thought ish in katan lo, kamash malan. Therefore, it teaches that even a katan, ve'emachin, I mean a little kid who's got the lesions on the skin disease, could be declared a mitzorah. Ve'emachinami, so why isn't that the case that it's only ish? The answer is that the parsha begins, adam kieva or besaro, if a person, not an ish, a person, has mikomakom. Any person, no matter what the age, fella ish lamali. So why does it say ish in the parsha? Chetanya ish ein li ala ish shaminai. Now do I know that women are included? Shemer vahat sarua, and the one who is afflicted. Harei kan shnayim ish and atzarua. I've got now two. Okay, matam lomar ish. So why did the Torah say ish? Linyan shomata, because later on there is a behavior prescribed for the mitzorah, which only applies to the man. Ish poreo foreim. The man has to let his hair grow wild, can't cut it, and the man cuts his clothes. That's only an ish ve'nisha porat u foremet. And a woman does not engage in those activities. She's not chayav. Chayavet in primat. Last piece we're going to look at in this podcast, hakol ro'in etan negaim. And the parallel are called Ksherin Lirot Tanegaim. It's talking about Kohen, who is able to see and therefore declare Tzarat or Tahara. What's that to include? It can't include a non-Kohen. The Mishnah in the Gaim talks about the circumstance of someone who is not an expert in Negaim. And he doesn't know the different names and the different ways that what they look like, different kind of lesion, the skin diseases. And now, so it's there to include, even a guy like that could, as long as there's somebody else coaching in there. So we said, you're not allowed to do that. That's the Mishnah. Ravina Lokasha, had the Masri Levisavar, if he's somebody, when you explain it to him, he gets it. And then he can transfer that knowledge when he sees the nega. And one who doesn't get it, so that's really in a baki, he really cannot see the negaim. We'll pause at this point, but pick it up right in the middle of this discussion in the next podcast. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.